Let's turn to God's Word, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we will continue our series on this book. This morning's message is part 11 of our series. James chapter 1, verse 19. But let me include verses 16, 17, 18, and then 20 and 21. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. And then our text, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. Have you ever wondered that God gave us two ears, but only one mouth or one tongue? Well, some people suggest that it is because God wanted us to spend as much or to spend twice as much time listening as talking. Others think that it is because God knew listening was twice as hard as talking. Indeed, if we are honest to ourselves, we will admit that listening is not an easy task. Children, how often you hear your parents say to you, "Psst, listen, do not talk, listen." And you too, husbands, don't we often hear our wives say to us, "Can you just please listen to me?" And why do they say that to us? Well, because when they come to us to share their problems, we are what? Too quick to speak and to try to fix the problem. When in fact, they came to us not to hear our solution to their problems, but simply to give our hearing to them. They just want us to listen to them. But that's our nature. We don't want to listen. But of course, wives, you are not accepted. I know you also struggle with listening. We all do. In fact, as some of you are listening, or perhaps as some of you are listening to this word, your mind is starting to wonder. Now, James is fully aware of our struggle to listen. And so in our text, he writes, look at verse 19, please. James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I therefore simply entitled this message, Please Listen. Please Listen. And there are three things that we're going to consider in this message. First, the message to which we listen. Second, the motive for which we listen. And finally, the manner by which we listen. So three things: the message to which we listen, and then the motive for which we listen, and finally, the manner by which we listen. Let's consider our first point. Now, James says in verse 19, My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Okay, quick to listen. To what? What's the object of our listening? Because James does not tell us in verse 19. Well, for us to know the object of listening in this verse, we need to understand the context. Now, first of all, in verse 19, James is specifically addressing the believers. That's why he calls them, My dear brothers. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, my fellow believers. And then he proceeds to say, Take note of this. Now, this indicates that what he is about to say is extremely important and urgent. Take note of this. And in our classroom, we hear that from our teacher. Take note of this. Why would the teacher say that to us? Because what he or she is about to tell us is urgent, important. So the same is true here. We better listen then to James. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Now, interestingly, how many of you are using King James Version right now? Do you have King James? Okay, I saw that. In King James, you have the word wherefore instead of take note of this. If you have ESV with you, you have the word know this. Know this. It's imperative. Know this. In NIV, take note of this. In King James, wherefore. Wherefore. That's a big difference. Wherefore. Why do we have that difference in translation? Well, we have to understand that the King James Version is based on what we call textus receptus. Whereas the NIV, as well as ESV, is based on what we call Nestle-Aland Greek New Testament. Now, in textus receptus, you have the Greek word, I'm going to mention this to you, you have the Greek word hoste or oste. In the Nestle-Aland Greek New Testament, you have the word iste. So you see the difference. Oste, omega, and then iota, iste. Now, translators don't really know which one is correct. And so, even when you read commentators or commentaries, you will see that they would acknowledge that it could be either or. You can translate it, my dear brothers, take note of this or know this, or like what we have in King James, my dear brothers, or wherefore my dear brothers, or therefore my dear brothers. Now, that begs another question. Which one then is more accurate? Well, I personally favor the rendition of the King James Version, the word wherefore, and I'm going to explain why. Now, in the previous verses, verses 17 and 19, let's read that section. Verses 17 and 18. James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And then verse 18, He, referring to God the Father, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. Now, in verse 17, we see God as the fountain of all blessings. Every perfect gift comes from Him. He is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And James tells us in verse 18 that one of those perfect gifts that we have received from God, or that God has given to us, is the gift of birth. Note again, verse 18, He chose to give us birth. And we know that the word birth there refers to regeneration. It is spiritual birth. To be born again, that's a gift from the Lord. And James continues to inform us that God bestows that gift of spiritual birth, regeneration, or salvation through the word of truth. Do you see that? Verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. And then when we come to verse 19, James says, my dear brothers, take note of this. But like what I said, I prefer the translation or rendition of the King James Version. Wherefore? Because it fits the context. Because you can read verse 19 this way. So having explained, please bear with me, having explained that salvation or regeneration or spiritual birth is a gift from God, and that God gives that gift through the Word of God, through the Word of truth, therefore, my brethren, everyone should be quick to listen to what? To the Word of truth. That's the context. To the Word of truth. In other words, since the Word of truth is God's primary instrument in regenerating sinners, everyone must be, therefore, listen to the Word of truth, which is actually the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the object of our listening? The very written Word of God. The Bible. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said, the Bible is the best gift God has given to me. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. Therefore, we must listen to this living and written Word of God. Now, why? Why listen to the Word of God? So that brings us to our second point, the motive for which we listen to God's Word. And let me give you five reasons from our text. Now, first reason, we must listen to God's Word because the Word of truth, as we see in verse 18, or the gospel. Now, by the way, let me explain this. The word of truth is a technical phrase referring to the gospel of Christ. But in general, this can also refer to the entire word of God from Genesis to Revelation. But the primary context is the gospel, because that's God's primary means of saving grace. God saves through His word through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why we must listen to the word of God, to the word of truth? Well, first, because this is His ordinary means by which He saves sinners. That's why, look at verse 21, please. Although we're going to save that verse for our next message, but let me read it because that will help us understand my point here. Verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept what? Humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. See that? My friend, the word of God is able to save you. This is God's primary means by which He calls sinners to repentance, to faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul echoes that point in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through what? Through the word of Christ. And so, my friend, perhaps as you are listening to the word of truth, to the word of God, perhaps you're listening as an unbeliever. Maybe you're not yet saved. Good news for you. As you listen to His word, God can save you using that word. And so you better listen to the word of God. But perhaps you may say, because when you read Acts 16:31, it's so plain. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what you need to do. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But perhaps you may speak, you may say, is that enough for me to be saved? Is that all I need to do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? James will say to you, listen. Listen. You're not listening to the word of God. That's why James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Allow God to speak to you first before you speak to Him. Listen. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let His word sink in to your heart. But you may speak again. You see, that's our nature. You may speak again as you're listening to the gospel of Christ. But my sins are too many. I am a great sinner. Can God still forgive me? Listen. James says, listen. Be slow to speak. Listen. What God says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God, yes, can still forgive you. Remember John Newton, writer of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace. When he was old and about to die, he was starting to lose his memory. But he said, my memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. That I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. Listen to the word of God. So why we must listen? Because God uses His word to save sinners. Second, because the word of truth is the ordinary means by which God sanctifies His children. So God uses the word of truth, the gospel, His word, to save sinners, but He also uses the same word to sanctify you as a child of God. Now, why do you think James wrote this book? Why? Well, understand the context. The original readers, they were suffering because of their faith. They were scattered abroad, as we see in James chapter 1, verse 1. To the 12 tribes, to the Jews, scattered, dispersed among the nations. And James wrote this word of God to encourage them that they may grow in their knowledge of God. Do you want to grow in your faith, my fellow believer? Then listen to the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 declares, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Do not expect to grow as a Christian, to grow in your relationship with the Lord, if you do not read His Word, if you do not listen to His Word. Because this is God's ordinary means. That's why in our church, we give special place to the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching must be central to our worship, because He saves through His Word and He sanctifies His children through that same Word. Children, may I ask you a question? When your parents read the Bible before you eat or after you eat or during your family devotions, do you listen to the Word of God? Do you listen? And don't just hear the Word of God, understand it. Remember that song? Read your Bible, pray every day, and what will happen to you? And you grow. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray, and you will sink. So read the Bible, listen to the Word of God, because that's God's ordinary means by which He sanctifies His children. Third reason, because listening to the Word of truth is a command. It's a command. Well, read our text. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. In Greek, this is imperative. You can even translate it this way. Everyone must be quick to listen. Everyone is commanded to listen to the Word of God. And think about this. This implies that right now, if you are not paying attention to the Word of God, you are disobeying Him. You are sinning against God. We sin when we transgress God's Word, but we also sin when we don't pay attention to it, when we disregard it. And how sad it is, I was told that one of the problems of many churches today is that during the preaching of the Word of God, you have young people texting or Facebooking. Oh, I pray that we will not have that kind of practice in our church. Come to church and listen to His Word, because you are commanded to do so. And everyone, take note. James says, everyone, that includes me, by the way. Elders, that includes you. Sunday school teachers, that includes you. Every preacher, every teacher, every speaker of God's Word must also listen to the Word of God. Fourth reason, because the Word of truth is the written Word of God. This is God's love letter to us. Why listen to the Word of God? Well, of course, it is His command. But not only that, because this very Word is His word to us. His love letter to us. Fathers, husbands, are you not excited when you receive, or maybe wives or women, are you not excited when you receive a love letter from your husband? Or maybe from your boyfriend? And I remember when I was courting my wife, every time I received, and I still do, and I sometimes read it more than once, sometimes 3 times, especially that line, you know, you're so cute, you know, handsome, love. You want to repeat that, right? You want that. My friend, you read the Word of God. It's so sweet. That's why the psalmist says, it is sweeter than honey. And also in Psalm 119, verses 47 and 48, the psalmist says, for I delight in your commands, in your word, because I love them. I love your word. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love. I meditate on your decrees. My friend, do we love the word of God? You see, it's one thing to listen to the word of God because you have to. You know, I can, maybe you young people, you are here because you're, maybe somehow your parents have forced you to go to church and to listen to God's word. So you are here this morning listening to the word of God, but you're not enjoying it. There's no delight. Or maybe, and this is now common, someone, you know, would come to a church because maybe he or she is dating this person, a member of this church. So maybe you are here not really because you love to hear the word of God, but because you love that person. Oh, my friend, love the word of God. Love the word of God. Listen to it. You know, Douglas MacArthur once said, believe me, sir, never a night goes by, be I ever so tired, but I read the Word of God before I go to bed. I read the Word of God. I love the Word of God. So why listen? Because the Word of God is the very Word of God. It comes from God. His love letter to us. Now, last reason why we must listen to God's Word. Because when the Word of God, or the Word of Truth, is read, or taught in Sunday school or catechism class, or preached during our worship service, it is God Himself speaking to us. Think about that. As you are listening to the message of God's Word, think that you are actually listening to the very voice of God. Not just, you're not primarily listening to me. God has appointed me to preach His Word. I like what John Calvin said, when a minister faithfully preaches God's word, he's preaching, speaking as if God Himself was speaking to the congregation. God is speaking to you. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What if? Maybe this is not a good example, but our president has invited you to visit him. Will you not listen to him? Or maybe king, queen of England, will you not pay attention to what she says? My friend, you're listening to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You see, one of our problems today is this. We want God to to listen to us when we pray to Him, but we don't want to listen to Him when He speaks to us through His Word. That's why James says, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to speak. Now, James is not suggesting that we should not speak. We can speak to God. We can dialogue with God. But God's point, or James' point here, is that before you... Okay. Again, we need to understand the context. At this time, the believers were suffering because of their faith. We have this tendency when we suffer to blame God, to question Him. Lord, if you are faithful, if you are good, why did you allow me to suffer like this? And we have this tendency to even blame God. That's why, look at verse 13, so we can see the context. Verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. So James says, when tempted, no one should say, no one should speak, that it is God who is tempting you, that it is God who is causing you to sin, that it is God who is the cause of all evil in this world. Listen. Listen to His voice before you complain, before you argue with God. And that's the problem of Job's wife. When God had tested Job, of course, and his family, his wife said to Job, curse God and die. She did not listen to God's voice. Whereas here we have Job, who paid attention to the Word of God. And therefore, by God's grace, he could say, my Redeemer lives. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in what way should we listen to God's Word? The manner by which we listen. How? Well, let me suggest three ways for the sake of time. I can give you 10, but let me give you 3. Now, James says, be quick, or in King James, swift, to listen. Now, the larger catechism, Westminster Catechism, asks this question. Please listen. What is required of those that hear the word preached? Question number 160. And it answers, it is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. So, in what way should we listen to God's word? Now, first, listen with diligence. Because that idea, be quick, suggests that we need to be attentive. We need to listen actively to the Word of God. I like one member, one family of our church. They invited us to have supper, and I like their practice. You know, since we received the bulletin information ahead of time, and that's a blessing. Electronically, we announce the text. This is our text. So what this family would do, Saturday, before they go to church, they would read that text and start meditating on that text as part of their preparation. They're studying the Word of God diligently. And I know some of you, you come to church with your own Bible. And please do that. The Bible is cheap. You can buy a nice cell phone, buy a nice pair of shoes, but you cannot buy a Bible? That's shame on you, my friend. Go to church. And I encourage you, go to church with your own Bible. And so when you listen to the Word of God, take a pen so you don't have to be hesitant to underscore, to underline, you know, a verse. So you can encircle it, listen, and then mark, you know, that verse that is so precious to you. Study it. Don't expect, again, to grow if you are not diligent, if you don't listen actively to the Word of God. Second, so diligence. Second, discipline. This is closely connected to my first suggestion. Discipline. Realize that Satan does not want you to listen to God's Word. Have you had this experience? You are in the church, and yet your mind is flying away, thinking of what you're going to cook for lunch, or what, you know, what kind of food you're going to serve for your family, or how are you going to pay your hospital bill, or your expenses, or your assignment in school. My friend, we need to discipline our mind. And maybe you are sleepy because you didn't have enough sleep last night. And you cannot concentrate. Then do something. Help yourself. Discipline yourself. You see how often we complain, I was not blessed by the preaching of God's Word. But did you really listen diligently? Did you discipline yourself? With open ears, like, okay, Lord, speak to me. I'm going to listen to you. Lord, okay, I'm here, ready. Be prepared. And then also, remember, as you listen to God's Word, listen with dependence on God. So diligence, discipline, and dependence on God. Pray before or during or after the preaching of God's Word. Pray for the speaker. Pray for others. Pray that God will use this for the edification of our church and salvation of sinners. Pray. Realize that unless the Holy Spirit applies His Word, God's Word will not accomplish its purpose in our lives. And I understand there are many hindrances, obstacles, or possible distraction as you listen to God's Word. And usually, hindrances are divided into three. About the messenger, about the method of that messenger, and then about the message. Maybe you don't want to listen to God's Word, and by the way, this is applicable not just to a preacher, but also to Sunday school teachers, or catechism teachers, or Bible study leaders. You don't want to listen to them, to your Sunday school teacher, because he doesn't practice what he teaches. I remember when I was invited to preach in Canada, Ontario. My host family happened to pick up this girl who has been attending their church, and so we pick her up. So I was in the car, and so I was curious, you know, we talk, and she told me that she's a PK, a pastor's kid. I said, a pastor's kid? So I said, I'm curious, you don't have to answer my question, but why are you attending this church, not your father's church? She said to me, my dad does not practice what he preaches. And that grieved my heart. And I remember silently praying, Lord, please don't allow that to happen to me, Lord. that my own children will not go to our church because of me. That your own children, fathers, will not listen to you because they don't see Christ in what you tell them, in what you teach them. Well, that's a legitimate excuse not to listen to the Word of God, but please, instead of being discouraged or disappointed, to listen to God's Word, pray for that person. Pray that the Lord will enable that person to preach His Word and to apply God's Word. Some would say, well, I don't want to listen to that person because he does not have a formal training in the seminary. Well, would you listen to Spurgeon if Charles Spurgeon would preach this morning, the Prince of Preachers? He didn't have a formal training in the seminary. The Lord used him so mightily. Well, I don't want to listen to this speaker because he's difficult to understand. Then pray to the Lord that God will help you. Well, I don't want to pray to that or to listen to that speaker because he is monotone. His preaching is boring. He doesn't have passion in his preaching. He speaks so fast. Ask the Lord to help you to listen to the Word of God. Well, that preacher does not preach the text. He's not faithful to the Word of God. Then help that person. Pray for that person. Well, his message is too long. Then ask the Lord to give you patience. Well, I heard that message before. Then ask God to give you a fresh understanding of that word. Well, his message is disorganized. I cannot follow the flow of his thoughts. Well, ask the Lord to help you to follow his thoughts. Do you get my point? Sometimes we are too quick to speak, to complain, but slow to listen. Whereas James tells us here, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And to summarize, to conclude this message, we see the message to which we listen, the motive for which we listen, and the manner by which we listen. Let me end with this illustration and to show how the Word of God is living and powerful. Boys and girls, there was a man who was selling individual books of the Bible, but he was stopped and robbed one night as he was passing through a forest in Sicily, and he was ordered to burn all those books, the books of the Bible. Now, after lighting a fire, he asked if he might read aloud a brief portion from each before surrendering them to the flames. Permission was granted. And so he started reading. He read from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." He read from the Sermon on the Mount. He read that story about the Good Samaritan. He read from Paul's epistle in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. Love is patient. Now, after each excerpt was read, the outlaw exclaimed, "That's a good book. We will not burn that. Give it to me." So none of those books were destroyed, but all were taken by the thief. You know what happened? Some years later, the robber appeared again. But now, as an ordained minister, reading the Bible had accomplished the miracle. My friend, I'm fully convinced this word is living, powerful. It can save you. It can change your life. What you need to do is listen to this word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we are all guilty that in many ways we have not listened to your word as we should. Oh, Father, please give us a listening ear and understanding heart. And we thank you again, Lord, for this precious book. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.